Hello, everyone. This is Connie Shaw, your host for Awakening, Talks with Compelling People, where we interview leading lights and emerging figures in the fields of spirituality, selfless service, and miracles. The topic for tonight's show is in-home elder care, and the interview title is Jane Trainer of Fairbanks, Bringing Mom to Alaska. Our guest, Jane Trainer, is a fascinating can-do woman who is a colonic therapist and landscape painter from Fairbanks, Alaska. She actually lived in the bush in the middle of winter with no electricity or running water much earlier in her life when she was married to her first husband and had a small child. Jane's story involves removing her mother from a nursing home in Massachusetts to live with Jane, Jane's husband Ron, and their two sons to a new wing which Ron built onto the house. Hi, Jane. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Connie.
Jane, your account of having lived in the bush many years ago is one that I'd like you to briefly share with our listeners so they can get a sense of you as a person. How long ago was it that you had that adventure, and for how long did you live in the bush?
In 1979,
yes.
My husband Don and I decided we wanted to go out to the bush and have a baby and have that kind of an adventure. We were young, and we decided that we would travel downriver about 100 miles, and then a mile up a creek, Washington Creek, to be across the creek from friends of ours named Barb and Errol, who just had a baby named Willow out in the bush. We thought we would follow and have our baby out there, so we built a six-sided log cabin and had dirt floors, no running water. A creek was how we got our water, and we were living in a burn forest, so we used wood that had been burned 10 years before to cut down for wood and brought a bit of grub stake, and then also decided to learn trapping and hunting and fishing in order to make more money to provide us with a grub stake for the year after.
Thank you for sharing that with us. So now nearly three decades have gone by, your children have grown, and you are now a grandmother. Your own mother, Marcia, then was in a nursing home in Massachusetts. So I'd like to have you tell us how it was that your family were able to get Marcia out of the nursing home and bring her from the lower 48 states to Alaska.
I got a call on a Wednesday morning at 7 in the morning from my sister, Jean, who lives in Fairbanks and had helped my mother move from an assisted living home into the nursing home because she had become unable to stand without falling. Her balance was terrible.
Yeah.
She had also suffered from dehydration twice that year because my mother was terrified to drink water because of incontinence. So she was dehydrated, which apparently we found out affected her bladder, which if you have a chronic bladder infection can affect your brain and make it so that you can lose your balance very easily. So essentially she was not able to stand from dehydration. So they decided that they had to have her move as much as they loved her at the assisted living home. So she was given the option to move to Alaska or to move into a nursing home in the Boston area, which she chose because she'd never lived outside of the Boston area. Anyway, within 22 hours of being there, they decided in the nursing home to tether her to a chair, which had an electronic device that if she got up to break the tether, it would set off electronically alarms that were attached to her ankle. And then a electronic video camera would come on her, they would check on her from the nurse's station, and then come and help her to go wherever she wanted to go, presumably the bathroom. Well, Jean came out of there with feeling that this was a gross error on all of our parts to allow Mom to make this decision, since she had dementia, that this was not a good idea. So she called me at 7 in the morning and said, we've made a huge mistake, and told me what had happened, and I was, of course, shocked. And she said, I want to get her out of here. Would you work with me to take care of her? I said, I had given her the option to come, but she didn't want to. So with that, Jean went to rescue her from the nursing home and had asked said, Mom, we're heisting you out of this joint. And she said, oh, thank God. I've been praying that someone would come and rescue me. So with that, she said, well, you're going to have to come to Alaska now. And she said she would. And so she and I cut a deal. I said, you could come live with me, but you would have to drink enough water, you would have to eat healthily, and you'd have to exercise every day. And she said, well, I'll only do it under one condition, and that is that I can go to Mass every day. So with that, we made a deal. And this is what's happening 2.5 years later. We've been keeping up with our ends of the bargain, and improvements have been had with my mother.
How old is Marcia now?
She is now soon to be 88. She's 87. She'll be 88 in a couple of months.
I see. How did your family and schedules have to adjust to Marcia coming to live with you?
I pretty much had to clear my plate of what I had been doing previously. I've always been self-employed and created jobs for myself, so this was going to be my new job with sideline jobs on the side because of the help of a local daycare center for my mother who goes there in the afternoons. So I pretty much had to clear everything off my plate, and my service projects that I do had to be incorporated in the time when she's in the daycare or with my sisters on the weekend on Sundays when she goes and spends time alternately with both of them.
What sort of physical condition was Marcia in when she arrived, and how does that compare to her present condition, Jane? How about mobility and clarity, for example?
She was on a walker when she came, and she couldn't make it up my driveway. She would have to pause quite often to catch her breath. She was in a pretty poor physical condition. And with time and with walks, we'd start up the driveway and then back down and then up the driveway down the road a little bit and then back. And slowly we worked it up. Now we put the walker under the house not too long after she came. We'd use our arm instead and then get her to do it without. She had this fierce spirit of, I want to do it myself, which was wonderful to see. Plus, she was drinking water again because mm-hmm. she had to. And she was eating really well. I was choosing very carefully what went into her. I tried to stay with as much organic food as we could, fresh, raw. She does eat some meat, but we give her organic chicken. And we stick to as much organic food as possible. And she improved. And now we've walked her every day since she came, and she's walking 1.5 miles a day at the Big Dipper, which is an ice rink indoors. We have to do it indoors in the winter. In the summertime, she'll walk to the bottom of Greenock Road and back up here. She's even done it by herself.
That's remarkable. Now, what about her hair color? You had told me that her hair has changed.
Yes. Well, one of the things we do is we give her smoothies for breakfast, and in it we cram it with as much nutrition as we can.
For example?
We put in calcium, magnesium, zinc pills mm-hmm. because all of her symptoms are symptoms of magnesium deficiency.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got her on that. Also, osteoporosis being one of them. We have her on green drinks, spirulina, blue-green algae. There's a deactivated nutritional yeast in her superfood that is crammed with B vitamins, which is excellent for dementia. Also, she has ginkgo biloba with cayenne pepper formula in it. She also has alpha-lipoic acid, which is an antioxidant for the brain. We do lecithin. She also has lots of almonds, raw almonds that have been soaked. And we put all of that in there with banana and fruit and juice. And she will drink it right down, which is wonderful. And the B vitamins, as you had told me, can bring back hair color. Her hair was white as a swan. And I noticed one day bathing her that there was a little swath of brown one day. And I thought, that's odd. I'd never noticed that before. And then the subsequent weeks of bathing, I noticed it got more and more and more and continues more slowly now, but it continues to get more. And I noticed that in the light, you can see that there's a blonde tinge to her hair rather than just white.
Oh, yes. That reminds me to ask you to tell us about your routine on a typical day with Marcia and your service projects and your household duties, how you fit it all in, when the day starts, and then when you retire at night.
My mother gets up at 7 a.m. pretty routinely, where we make a fire, and then my husband's been pretty good about making her the smoothie in the morning, and then after that, it's time for her supplements and her two glasses of water in the morning in addition to the one she's already had, so we make sure we count her glasses for the day. And then I get her lunch ready, and then about 10:30 we head out the door to go walking at the Dipper. In the summertime we walk right here in the neighborhood. And then we head to Mass at noon, and then after Mass she goes into the daycare at 1 o'clock, and that's when I'm free to do what projects I need doing or household chores like going shopping for the house on Tuesdays. And on Thursdays I make a meal for the local soup kitchen, which feeds the street people in Fairbanks. And then that takes care of Monday through Friday for the most part. There's all kinds of other little projects that are usually varied on the other days.
I understand.
And then I pick her up at...
Go ahead.
I understand. I pick her up at about 5 o'clock, and then she comes home, she has dinner, and usually she'll read or watch a movie with my husband, and then to bed at about 9 o'clock.
It's a very, very full day. Now, I understand that you take your mother to Mass, though you yourself are not Catholic. So can you tell us about that? Where are you? Where is she? How long that lasts? And what you do in the meantime?
Sure. Well, I started out where I would sit with her, next to her in Mass. I'm a meditator. I'm not a Catholic. So I would sit and I would do meditation, but the standing and the kneeling would get in the way of my being able to concentrate. So eventually, I moved myself to the other side of the church and then would just be there when she'd come back from communion to show her where her pew was, because she cannot remember.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, the priest was in tune with that and assigned two women to take care of her, who go there every day. And bless their hearts, they are there to escort her, one in front, one back, up to communion and then back. And I get that chance to go into the vestibule, and I can meditate uninterrupted, which is great, because being around people that are devoted to Mary and Jesus is just the most wonderful feeling, and it helps me to go into deeper states of meditation much more quickly. So I enjoy meditating in the church. And then I will be there after communion. I'll catch her and just show her where her feet is, just and also to orient her that I'm here, and it just helps her to remember that she will then be escorted out of the church with me afterward.
How do you get R&R for yourself in addition to the meditation time while your mother is attending Mass?
I really enjoy cooking for the soup kitchen, and I have a dear friend that comes, and we can talk about anything with each other. So that's always a wonderful time of the week to look forward to. I love to read, and after Mom goes to bed, it's my reading time, contemplation time. There are times when Ron goes off to see his mother in California, and I will give myself a really looking forward to it day to go to the hot springs by myself, which is always fun. And I seem to be able to take care of it. I have learned long ago how to get pleasure out of very simple things and to be enthusiastic about things like watching the sky. Mom and I love to watch the sky as it changes, and the winter sky here is so beautiful. We enjoy being sky watchers as we drive along and walk along in the summer. And so I get a lot of pleasure out of simple things.
Your capacity to live in the moment and to be grateful for nature and all of the blessings around you, I gather, has contributed to your being able to be refueled throughout the day.
It definitely helps. And
mm-hmm.
It also plays another role, because dealing with dementia, as I have to with my mom, it's very important to keep a very upbeat headspace for her sake, since dementia is affected by whatever feeling affect is around her. So the most positive affect I put out, she will reflect, and vice versa. If I'm ever in a down place, she will reflect that too. So I work my very, very hardest to keep the positive affect, and if I am preoccupied with something that is bringing me down, then I just have worked on how to project my voice in a way that makes it sound like I'm still positive. And I usually am in some part of my mind, knowing that everything really is all right and it's all an illusion anyway. Don't take it too seriously. And I can then reflect that to her and keep her on an even keel, which helps her out.
That sounds like wisdom speaking. For other people who might be thinking about bringing a parent to live with them, Jane, what other considerations need to be kept in mind?
Make sure you have support. And in most towns, there seems to be this. This is a trend that's happening across the country. I'm amazed at how many people have been doing it here in Fairbanks. In fact, from what I've been told, one of the fastest growing populations in Fairbanks is elders coming up to be with their loved ones.
So
I imagine that's a trend happening everywhere. So get support. I'm sure it's out there. Read about it. Read about your elder one's disease and find out, or any maladies that are in it. There's also, I really am a firm believer in food as therapy. So give your elder the absolute best food possible, lots of clean, pure water, and exercise them. The basics of life will improve. And at any time in life, I've learned, no matter what age you are, if you give your body the right ingredients, it will get better. And we have seen that with my mother. There's no doubt about it. And I would like to do this work with other elders as well.
That's very inspiring. Which reminds me to ask you, Jane, what sort of assistance does the state of Alaska give for people who take in the elderly full-time?
I'm going to be finding out about that very soon. My mother's had assets, and they are now dwindled down, and after this month, we will be turning more to the state, as we only are going to be receiving her Social Security. So I will be finding out. I know I can get the daycare assistance to help her at the adult center where she goes in the afternoon. And I know that if necessary, you can go on a welfare system for elders here. They do have that. And they also have Meals on Wheels, where they will bring food if you're not inclined to want to cook for yourself. There's all kinds of stuff out there. And there's even a place you can go to find out all of those resources.
So you have yet to investigate those, because things have worked very smoothly in the past 2.5 years that you've had Marcia with you, and then now that there is a need to bring in other resources,
yes,
then you can check those out.
Right.
Are there any senior activities that she enjoys in the area? For example, you talked about going down to the ice skating rink and then the senior daycare center in the afternoon. What does she do over there?
Well, they play games and socialize more than anything, and they're simple games so that they can include everybody, bingo, and she'll win toys for the kids that are in her life, her great-grandchildren, other kids that I take on Sundays to families that are in need. So she feels that's a service project for her, is to win toys for the kids. And so we've got bingo and dominoes. But at home, she can play Scrabble. She's a little more higher capacity here. So we'll play Scrabble with her, and that's very enjoyable to her, which she hadn't been able to do for a long time prior to coming here. So that was really great to get her go back into that.
Jane, I'm very impressed with how you've been able to rehabilitate her from her sad state in the nursing home to being able to walk by herself, to socialize, to play Scrabble, which requires a lot of cognitive skills, and to be able to interact with the family and the neighbors and so on. And that reminds me, how many other family members help with her care and maintenance? Do you ever get a day off, or do you ever rotate her among your siblings?
My sisters will have her. They both work a very full schedule at their jobs, so they'll take her on alternate Sundays. And pretty much they'll put her to bed, too, so that gives me one night where I can be late if I want to. And it was particularly in the beginning, it was a wonderful relief. My mother has adjusted to being here to the point where she realizes that she's really cared about, and that we will not turn our backs on her, that she's not abandoned truly. She has developed a wonderful attitude of gratitude to all of us, and it has been more and more delightful to be with her, whereas in the beginning she came in a little bit on the kicking and fighting side of her nature. So that's been tapered down quite a bit.
And how do you know that she's grateful now? Do you have any anecdotes to convey that, or has she told you about being appreciative?
Yes. Well, there was a time when I was at the adult center and I was explaining to Wilma how my mother's life has been pretty difficult from the get-go. Her mother suffered from schizophrenia and had been institutionalized quite a bit in my mother's childhood. And then she turned around, fell in love with the love of her life, got pregnant with him after they were married. He went off to war and died.
Oh, my goodness.
And so she was widowed with a child, and then she ended up marrying my father, who was also widowed with two children. Out of convenience, they decided to be married, and it was not a happy marriage whatsoever. My father was also troubled and was abusive, and so it was hard for my mom. After he died, she was alone, and I had seen for years that was a mistake. She needed support, but she was also terrified of being a burden, so she lived on her own and toughed it out, and then slowly developed dementia, and then had a stroke when she saw 9/11 on the television, which exacerbated her mental state so that she couldn't remember even more. So that's when she had to go into an assisted living, and then she did all right for a while, although she was chronically lonely and calling everybody she could constantly for help and to just keep her from feeling lonely, and then she had to go into the nursing home. So this was really the first time in her life when people were going to be caring about her close up. So she kicked and screamed for a while, it seemed like, but did okay most of the time, tried her best, and then she got gravely ill once while she was here with a severe bladder infection again. So we tended to her and helped her in every possible way. I was at her bedside, and I think that is when she turned around and realized that she was not abandoned in this life and that she did have people that were going to look after her, care about her, and have her best interests at heart. And I think at that point she developed an attitude of gratitude as a routine, and she thanks me every day. Every day. But when I told Wilma all this, I went back to my mom, and I told her that I told Wilma all this, and I went through the story, and she burst into tears, and that's when she says, I'm so grateful to you, Janie. She sees it. I learned with dementia that you are still able to process, you're still able to think, and you're still able to grow. I used to think otherwise, but I don't believe that anymore. People can grow. With loving and caring and what you need to help your body, people still move and grow and change. And we've seen some improvements, and it's been very soul-satisfying for me. I will never forget that.
What have you learned about life and about yourself since you've brought Marcia to live with you?
I've learned that I believe that our culture has made a mistake thinking that putting elders into homes is a good idea for everybody. Other cultures take their parents in, and if it's at all possible, it's extremely rewarding. It's soul satisfying. It's really difficult, but I wouldn't trade this time for the world. I'm so happy for me personally, and knowing my mother's history, I'm so happy to see her happy. And I just want to keep her that way wherever we go through our routine, which is the same pretty much every day because that gives her security. People know her, love her, and greet her and make her feel so welcome and warm. And she eats it up. It's been wonderful. Seeing my mom happy is wonderful.
That is very heartwarming to hear that. It also brings to mind some pictures I have in my memory of having traveled to Alaska, where I observed Yupik Eskimos, Athabascan Indians, and various Native people in a sense of community. And in fact, there is a saying that a small town is like a big family. And I'm wondering if you could share with us some of the values that Athabascan Indians have there in Alaska regarding families and elders?
Well, one of the advantages that the natives of Alaska, the Native Americans of Alaska, have had over the Native Americans that I understand in the lower 48, had their lands and their culture ripped out from under them, and then they were shoved onto poor lands. Here, they didn't lose their land. They may have had the culture pulled out from under them, but it wasn't as devastating. They still had a semblance of their old way of life as white people came in. And it seems to me that white people have adopted the values of the Athabascans, and one of their very cherished values is to honor their elders and take care of them, which has been an advantage to all the elders that come up here. There's a saying from the elders, the white elders that I've met, that says that coming to Alaska puts 10 years on your life. And I see that.
That's great.
I see that. We're very, very good to our elders, and that is something I feel we owe to the Athabascan culture.
So the elders really feel included rather than ostracized or rejected or overlooked, and they're a valuable part of the community, and they're valued for their wisdom and their life experience.
Yes, everybody stops to chat with them and talk and care. When you see the Athabascan gatherings of any sort, the elders are always brought in first and cared for, always escorted by someone younger that looks after them, helps them. The plates of food in the potlatches are always given to the elders first. It's very heartwarming, and it has translated to the white culture here.
So the honoring of elders even has a slightly ritualistic aspect to it, which is part of the beauty of the culture.
Yes. Yes,
it's not just a thoughtless adjunct.
No, it's not done except out of a deep reverence for the wisdom that they have had.
Mm-hmm. What advice, Jane, would you give to people who would like to bring their loved ones into the bosom of the family who might not have any experience in doing that? How do they need to be very clear-eyed about the experience and understand that not every day is going to be a 100% happy, successful day?
That's absolutely the case. Make sure that you take it a day at a time, take a deep breath, remember to breathe, but get support. Read about their maladies and how diet can help, because diet really can help. But generally speaking, give them enough water, healthy food, exercise, love and care for them. Give them space. That's one thing, an advantage that I have over my sisters is that we have a wing that's right off the main part of our house with the living room, the dining room, the kitchen. That is my mother's. And it's a separate part of the house and my husband and I's private space is downstairs so that we have this sense of being able to get away. My sister's house was much smaller. When she had my mother living there, there was no place to get away and be able to breathe, and particularly during that difficult adjustment time for my mother. And it just about drove my sister nuts. So you have to be aware of the nature of the beast, whatever it is. In this particular case, dementia, Alzheimer's can be very similar. You have to just know what you're dealing with, and that's where getting support, talking to people that have done it, how they did it, get your information straight and know what you're going to be dealing with.
Having said that, what has been the single greatest challenge for you in this situation of being adjusted to Marcia, having been in your home now for 2.5 years, as you look back?
My mind. which has been a challenge for me to master my mind, be able to choose my thoughts carefully, make sure that I'm looking at this from a positive standpoint, keep a happy affect, be grateful, see the positive side of things, that's been the most challenging thing. And I do have to say, Mom's been a great teacher.
It sounds as if that has been an enormous blessing, because you've been forced to watch your thoughts arising from the ground of consciousness, and you have chosen to take time out to meditate at noon each day while she's at Mass, and you
and
have
earlier.
Chosen to stop and look at the sky colors and to enjoy simple things in nature while with her, whereas if she weren't your sidekick, perhaps you'd be whizzing around not taking time for those things. So it sounds as if there have been great lessons and blessings in the whole process. As we know, life is about that. It's always a two-way traffic, two-way street. There are always lessons and blessings in every situation, no matter how challenging. Would you agree with that?
Well, I'd take it one step further. I believe that everything can work for the good.
Yes.
If that's the way you intend it.
Well, that is very inspirational. Jane, is there anything else that you would like to leave as a last thought with our listeners regarding ideas and experience about in-home elder care?
It's worth it. It's worth it. It's an extraordinary challenge, but it's well worth it. It's deeply soul-satisfying to be taking care of my mother on behalf of all of my brothers and sisters and on behalf of my own children, so that they will follow my example, and perhaps I'll be in good hands when I get to need a little extra help.
No doubt, Jane. Thank you, Jane Trainor, for being a can-do woman of great sparkle and inspiration. That concludes our show tonight. You've been listening to Awakening, Talks with Compelling People. I'm Connie Shaw, and our guest was Jane Trainor of Fairbanks, Alaska. Thanks for being with us. Visit our website at connieshaw.com and listen next time. Remember, you too can make a huge difference by sharing your love, talent, and experience to alleviate human suffering. Please commit to joining or creating a selfless service project in your community today.